everybody. Happy Wednesday!
That's right. It is a Wednesday, so we have our Fesco and Dusty poll question, which is on X, formerly known as Twitter, which is what everybody says. You can go over there. Also, while you're at it, why don't you like and subscribe to the YouTube page, or you can go on Facebook, Twitch, or Twitter. That way it goes straight to the top when you do your search, like Maloney when he goes home at night and watches us on his TV.
Reruns. And then he watches the reruns.
It's awesome, man. I love it, because then he'll be like, oh, sand in your crack. Hilarious. I'm like, yeah. Damn right, Maloney. That's so much sand everywhere the other day.
How pissed was Maloney yesterday when he was trying to talk about his spot getting like the second best sports bar in Kansas City, and I reverted the conversation to Earl's Premier.
Okay. He's like, oysters suck, and so do you. Just kidding. I still love you. But the
congratulations to Maloney's, though. Yeah. They got a silver award or something, like the Silver Sow Award. I don't know.
But I love that he's that disappointed about getting silver. Like, yeah. There's some people that, you know, would just want to be mentioned. But yeah, go to Maloney's.
Well, don't have people,
man,
passing out in your kitchen. All right. You get the gold award for that. But right above it, it said something about Earl's Premier. And if you had never been there, it's phenomenal. It's a great seafood restaurant in town. And I saw it up there. I'm like, oh, man, Earl's Premier. And Maloney was so mad at us on the text.
Earl's.
Because it just went right away from him winning the Silver Sow Award. Congratulations, Rob.
Yeah, they don't have fried mushrooms at Earl's Premier, but they do have good oysters.
Oh, they do.
But no, shout out to Maloney's. Go to Maloney's and get some lunch today. It's right off of Metcalf. If you're bored with traffic, take a right. Boom, if you're going, obviously, towards 435. But the question of the day on Fesco and Dusty's poll question, is Josh Simmons going to be the best Chiefs left tackle since Willie Roaf?
Yes.
151 votes are in, 82.1%. Why am I doing that? 82% of people, 82% of people said yes.
Good. Good.
I mean, can you imagine if you've got that for the rest of Mahomes' career? Nope. I know that I'm hard.
I said when they drafted him, and I still think Mahomes could retire before Josh Simmons if everything goes to plan. If this guy is a mainstay Hall of Fame left tackle, there is a good chance that he is here after Patrick Mahomes retires. And that's what we're rooting for. We're rooting for that guy to be the last guy that Patrick Mahomes has to have on the left side of his offensive line. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do this dance every year. And I don't think it's going to be doing that dance every year, because I think they got this thing figured out.
Well, this is the guy.
It's also like perfect timing, because there's three things that F the NFL with this, right? One, Veach does it again. Chiefs get a steal. And three, Mahomes getting older, which means the improvisation will go down, which is age.
It's just age. It happens.
And now that if you have protection, then he can be a drop back passer. And when Tom Brady figured out that he could just sit on a spot and just have time, It was nuts, man. It was like, and we always remember this when you play the Patriots in the playoffs. You got to get Tom Brady off of his spot. You will hear that in 5 years from now with Patrick Mahomes, where it's like, you got to get Mahomes off his spot or he'll rip you to shreds. Whereas like before, it's you want to keep Mahomes in the pocket. That's where he's not as effective. He's more effective outside the pocket. Josh Simmons will allow Mahomes to evolve in his career and also bring back that 4,045 sort of stuff where people are going, God, can you believe we had Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, right, exactly. And people right now who are looking at stats because they don't watch the games are going to say, wow, look what Patrick Mahomes, he got better. No, he didn't get better. His offensive line got better. Thanks for watching the last couple of years.
But, and his receivers, yeah.
And his receivers are healthy now, too. And so all of that does factor in. That's why like stats tell part of the story, but they don't nearly tell all of the story. Because if you're just relying on stats, then you think, well, Patrick Mahomes has had a down year for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You don't take into account everything that has happened because of what's gone on with Patrick Mahomes. So, no, I hope this is the last left tackle that we see in Kansas City, the last left tackle for Patrick Mahomes. And I hope it gets to the point, too, where it was like at the end of Peyton Manning's career when we were 9-0 and went in there in Andy Reid's first year and we thought we were going to beat the Broncos. And Manning just sat in that pistol formation and was getting rid of the ball before, like, Tom Bahali could even get off the line. That's how quick it was.
They call that a clinic.
Yeah, and it was. It was like, I just remember sitting there, Josh and I, in that press box that day going, what in the hell are we watching, man? Like he just diced up that defense, right? And Tom just couldn't get there. Nobody could get there because as soon as he got the ball, he was getting rid of it. That's going to be the tail end of Patrick Mahomes' career. That'll be that new edition of Patrick Mahomes. The Peyton Manning, get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball, get rid of the ball. The deep ball will be gone. It'll be a lot of yak guys out there, a lot of speed guys out there. Yeah. But that's where he will be at his point in his career.
Who do you have? Wes Welker, Julius Thomas, and Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Good Lord, yeah. You talk about the weapons he had on that team. Right? by the defense that was second to none.
Then you got ripe Von Miller there as well, too.
DeMarcus, like,
that defense was sick.
So good.
I mean, so good, so good. That team was fun to watch play, not against us, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a fun football team to watch. And eventually, we'll get there. I mean, that's the kind of the circle of life in the NFL quarterback. And you want to play a couple of more years, you got to change your game a little bit, man. And that may be sitting back there and just firing the ball as soon as you get it, you know?
Yeah, Von mission Miller. Full circle will be like drop eight to against the Bengals. Mahomes couldn't figure it out to now. It's like, okay, you can't do anything. Right. If he has time, he's going to destroy you.
Yeah.
You look at it. Von Miller, Ware, Harris, Tlaib.
Yeah.
And then it's orchestrated by Peyton Manning with all these weapons. No wonder they were, setting offensive records with like 5,400 yards that year and like 53 touchdowns or 56 touchdowns.
The touchdown numbers were sick that
56
year.
And like 52, I think, were his numbers. You're quanning for a new Royal.
I am. Stephen Kwan is the guy. And I know
I hate that guy. I hate him more than Ramirez.
Because
he always gets hits against the Royals.
I mean, I was looking at some of his stuff yesterday. He's the perfect Royal. And I was talking to a major league scout about this yesterday, and they were like, the problem that you have with this scenario is that Cleveland and the Royals are battling for that final wild card spot with each other. And he said GMs have been fired for less, traded Stephen Kwan. But I said, what about the Class A thing? That changes everything to me right now with where Cleveland is, right? This Class A thing is not good, obviously. It's changed the whole dynamic of everything. Stephen Kwan's under contract through next year as well. He's got 3 gold gloves. He's the best left fielder probably in the American League right now. He's a contact hitter. The dude never strikes out, and he helps you today. He helps you tomorrow. Like, that's the perfect Royal for me, and he is available. There are a lot of teams talking to Cleveland right now about Stephen Kwan, and if you're the Royals, that's 100% a guy that would be a perfect fit here in Kansas City. 3-time gold glover, contact hitter, never strikes out, top of the lineup guy. Like, man, give me some Stephen Kwan right now.
Would you send Estevez for Kwan?
Yeah.
Just 1v1 inside the division?
Yeah, I would absolutely
handshakes
do that.
Handshakes hand. You get an outfielder, they get a closer. Their closer's probably done for the rest of the year, if not next year.
Right.
He might get
may be done forever.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, the percentage, did you hear about the Class A stuff, Mac? He was reported gambling. 17.5% of his first pitches were missed, and he only had a 5% rate the rest of any other pitches. Jeez. That's not obvious.
Yeah, right.
I'm not gambling.
Yeah.
Okay, then you're just weird.
like you waste a pitch on every batter to start.
Crazy.
No chance that's
it's
happening.
Like, what was the NBA guy that was going down and getting one rebound and then missing the shot on purpose because his numbers were like.
Wasn't
less,
it Kevin
and
Porter?
And then taking himself out of the game. It was Kevin Porter.
So he would do that. So, yeah, just. Idiots.
The idiots in sports that are trying to make money by fixing games. You suck, man.
and
you should get a lifetime ban, from those sports because you you're not good enough to play in this game. Playing in the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball is a privilege. It is not a right. If you mess up that privilege, you're gone. Gambling on these games is gone. It's the worst thing you can do as an athlete is gamble on these games and fix these games and do stuff like that. You got to go, man. There's no room for you here.
Royals in town today. One last time before a 9-game road trip. And then the day before the trade deadline, they're 53-55. They play the Braves today. They are -125 on the money line. Over under 9.5, they are going to go with the opener today. We'll talk to Q at 9 o'clock about this and also the trade deadline. Angel Zerpa gets the slab today with his little rabbit tail that he's got back there. That's like
who's
gray
pitching
and white.
For Atlanta?
Joey Wentz.
Oh, he is cool.
Yeah,
local
so,
kid. Yeah,
5.76 ERA. So
national. National Father-in-Law Day. My father-in-law is friends with his grandpa, so I'm sure he'll be out of the ballpark today. Tom, if you are, please stay in the shade.
And Ronald Acuña is out with an Achilles injury. He was seen leaving last night's game with a boot and tears,
that
which
sucks.
Is just terrible to see. The former MVP of 2 years ago and also blew his ACL out a year ago. So the Royals come to this game 4 games out of the wild card spot. We'll see if there's any hugs today in the dugout because it is National Hug Watch. You got to see who's going to be, leaving. We saw last night in the doubleheader. I don't know if you saw this video on Twitter. Baltimore and Toronto are in a doubleheader, and in the middle of it, they switched players. And this guy, or they traded, Baltimore traded one of their pitchers to the Toronto Blue Jays, and he just walked from one dugout over or one locker room to the other in mid-game.
It's fun when that happens. Very
that
rarely
cool.
does that happen, but it's still fun to see that. It's still unique. It's still awesome to see. All right, see you later. I'm going across the street there, and I'm going to be throwing against you now. But how about that guy going from worst to first, too?
Right.
I mean, what a great trade. That guy's got to be happy as a pig, and to be traded out of Baltimore and go to Toronto on a first-place team that's – I've been watching Toronto Toronto over the last week or so. They're playing some really good baseball right now. Man, that's going to be a tough task for the Royals to go up there.
Yeah, they got swept in their doubleheader yesterday, but they did hone the best record in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
At least they still might. But what will you – I guess we're out of time, so we can get back to that a little bit later on. I'm sorry about that. But coming up on the other side, we will rank some AFC South QBs because, by God, it's July 30th. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5.com.
That's AspenLawn.com. You want to play a fun game?
What is it, Saw 7?
Hello, Dusty. You've been a loudmouth smartass for years. Time to play the game.
All right, here's what we're going to do. If you know Rob Maloney, send him a text message to his cell phone saying Earl's premiere is great.
Don't do that. I thought my job was the instigator in the... I've got a really good instigating topic today for the bullpen when at 9 o'clock.
Is. Oh, you get oh boy!
You know how I like to stir things up.
Oh, I know, and I'm seeing Alex and Cody right here. Tiny Alex, large Cody. Hi, I'm Alex.
Hi, I'm Cody. I don't understand the size difference in these two.
Hi, I'm Woody. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
I mean, look at the size difference in Cody and Alex. It's like one's the child and one's the dad here.
You talking about the WNBA game again?
Yes.
Neon Moon.
The sun goes down.
One of the greatest country songs of all time.
That part of town.
I will stand on business on that Neon Moon is a top three country song of all time.
I remember being in Texas and watching people sing karaoke that, right? And I'm like, God, some people are really good. Others not so much, but that was always one that everybody wanted to sing.
Fantastic song. So QB rankings are out in the AFC South. They have CJ Stroud 1, Trevor Lawrence 2, Anthony Richardson 3. Cam Ward 4.
And I don't agree with this because the unknown of
one, right?
Well, yeah, by default almost, but I like CJ Stroud.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he is. And there's really no competition, but I don't believe Cam Ward is number 4 on this list. I think the unknown of Cam Ward is better than the known of whatever the Colts are going to roll out there this year. And I don't think Anthony Richardson is very good. They have Daniel Jones competing with him as the starting quarterback right now. Like, if you're in a battle with Daniel Jones, you're not good. BBL stinky. Yeah.
Well done.
So I put Cam Ward 3rd on that list. Cam, I put Anthony Richardson as 4th on that
list. Cam Ward's played more college football games than Anthony Richardson's played college and pro combined.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's true. Because Cam Ward played, 5 years in college?
Yeah, and Anthony Richardson's barely played.
He played 7 at Florida, and he's played, 6 in Indiana?
Yeah.
That's Indianapolis.
Crazy. I mean, Trey Lance is now a San Diego Charger, guys. You want to talk about how life comes at you fast, right? That was the 2nd overall pick in the draft. Well, he's starting the Hall of Fame game.
Yes, tomorrow night football is back.
Woo.
I would say Cam Ward could be the 2nd best quarterback by week 5.
Wow. I don't disagree with that either. I'm not a Trevor Lawrence guy.
I think Trevor Lawrence has to cut the hair.
Oh, that's what it is?
Yep.
It's getting in his eyes. It's all the sweats dripping. He's got to get it out.
He might look like Marilyn Manson and Macaulay Culkin, had a child. But Cam Ward, I'm excited about. The AFC South, this is just where we're at. I mean, we're CJ Stroud and then pick your 3. I'm giving up on Trevor Lawrence unless he just absolutely shocks me. I know injuries have plagued him. I know that the reality of playing in competitive football outside of Clemson in high school where he never lost a game or maybe lost one game. And then got to the NFL, and it was like, welcome to the league, kid. But, yeah, Anthony Richardson, I mean, man, you talk about the weight of your world on your shoulders after last year's debacle where he's like, I was just tired, didn't want to play.
Right.
Like, that'd be like if you were in the middle of the show, like right now, I'd be like, hey, guys, I'm exhausted. I'm going to get out of here. I mean, it's nuts, man.
I mean, Bigley would just fall asleep.
Yeah, it's not true, Bob. Why don't you blow it out your ass, Bob? So we go from the South. Let's talk about AFC West quarterback.
Wait, can I just say?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say I'm definitely not out on Trevor Lawrence.
That's
just want to get that on the that on the record. Very, yeah. Very still in on Trevor Lawrence.
SEC legend soon, Trevor Lawrence.
Yes, yeah. Yes. 4,000-yard passer twice, Trevor Lawrence, with no good wide receivers really in his past. So I think there's a chance for him.
I mean, yeah, you can hang on to hope. That's fine. I don't have any issues with that. I just
he's shown it before too. They're like I think we're saying like we act like he's always been straight ass. He made the playoffs. He almost beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Like he's got some stuff.
Well, I mean,
no, that happened.
You didn't almost beat. I don't.
It was a close game.
I don't.
I was at that game.
I was too, but I don't remember that game being a close game where you ever thought it was really in doubt.
Well, that's you, Bob. But I mean. Certainly fans around me and I definitely thought that was, I mean, especially when the Mahomes injury happened, but just take that away. Like Lawrence played well.
They scored 16 points that day. Was it like 24-16 game, something like that?
Yeah, you and I both know that's not the end all be all on what a good offensive day is from a quarterback. But yes, Mahomes has had many days where we've scored 17. We've won. Man, that was a hell of a game from Patrick.
No, I'm just trying to remember. That was what the final score was of that game. That's all. It was a closer game, but all their games in the playoffs are close.
True.
So you're the AFC West, and I think this is where we can have a fun discussion, because I don't know if it's considered a hot take, but I have a take about AFC West quarterbacks. We all agree who number one in the AFC West
is. It's Patrick Mahomes, and there's really nobody else that's even close. And anybody who's trying to compare anybody in this division to Patrick Mahomes is on drugs.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
And share, because you're on some good stuff.
It's today.
So, Mac, who's your number two quarterback in the AFC West?
I'm going to go Justin Herbert.
I'm going Bo Nix.
I'm going Geno Smith.
I almost went Geno Smith, Dusty, and I like that pick by you a lot. I almost went with Geno Smith. A lot of experience in this league.
I am down on the Herbert train.
I know. You weren't last year with me. You were with me.
I was. And then I watched what happened last year.
Yeah, with the playoffs.
Because I was watching First Things First yesterday because Parkins is doing the hosting for Colin Cowherd.
So cool.
And then Nick roasted him because he was loving on Justin Herbert, and then he threw some good points out there. They have done nothing but baby Justin Herbert. They have given him everything he wanted. 2 years ago, they were like, we're going to run the ball. We're going to let you just kind of be the manager, and every once in a while, we're going to need to make a play. When the playoffs happen, we need you to see what happens. Trevor Lawrence, your guy, threw 5 interceptions in a playoff game.
Yep.
And still beat Justin Herbert.
Still beat him. They
last
still won.
Last year, Justin Herbert threw 5 interceptions in a playoff game after throwing 1 or 2 all season.
That's right.
The lights get too big for him. The prophecy is not there. The talent is there, very much so. Powerful arm. I watched him throw a strike to the end zone 35 yards with a dislocated rib against these Chiefs. And I was like, man, this guy's got it.
Yeah.
His first career start ever against the Chiefs maybe was disguised because they were planning for another quarterback because the trainer put a needle in his liver.
Yeah, that was
and so.
Yeah,
like, was all of a sudden, crazy. It was like, wait a minute, we got to plan for somebody else. So that's a little bit disguised.
Yeah,
I think,
and that was 5 years ago. Now
I think Justin Herbert has more to prove than any quarterback in this year's NFL going into this season, because it's Esther get off the pot with Justin Herbert. Either you're a top 5 quarterback or you're not. And that's just basically the way we've looked at Justin Herbert. We look at it all the time. We go, all right, it's Mahomes, it's Allen, it's Burrow, or it's Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, then it's Lamar, and then it's Herbert. Maybe not, because you know what? Jaden Daniels right now is better than Justin Herbert.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he's had
no question.
Went to the NFC Championship game, played against tough talent, did his
thing. CJ Stroud has done better than Justin Herbert.
That's fair. And I think that we just glaze a little bit more as a nation over Justin Herbert because of what we've seen him do against the Chiefs. And I don't think Justin Herbert is necessarily going into this season. Now, talent-wise, yes, the arm is better than Geno, but I'm going to put Geno above Justin Herbert because until you can prove to me that you can do it for an entire length of the time and an offense that has been catered to your needs to make you even better, you're not really showing me anything.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you.
So hate me if you want, Texan. I don't care because I need to see more from Justin Herbert.
I'm with
you. From what we were set up to believe.
And I've been telling these folks that for years now. I've never been a Justin Herbert fan because Justin Herbert is what I absolutely hate in sports. And I've realized as I've gotten older, he's a product of the ball-washing NFL propaganda machine. And all of the ball washers for the league, the Ian Rappaports, the Adam Schefflers, and all these guys out there that ball wash the NFL have been pushing this narrative because the NFL so badly needs Los Angeles to be successful so they can say, see, we were right to go back to L.A. They need that operation to win. They need that operation to adopt fans out there. So they have done everything in their power to push this turd up a hill known as Justin Herbert to wash everybody's balls with how great he's going to be, to tell us how good he's going to be. And then you watch Red Zone and you think, wow, this guy throws touchdown passes. He must be a good quarterback. Then you watch him play a game and you realize he is not a very good quarterback. And he has been celebrated and he's accomplished nothing. And we've always in sports want to put this cart ahead of the horse. We declare Justin Herbert a finished product in that first game he played against the Chiefs because he went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. It's like hitting against a pitcher you weren't preparing for that day, right? You know, Spencer Strider is going to start. You get ready for Spencer Strider, and then all of a sudden you go out there on the mound, and it's not Spencer Strider. It's Eric Fetty or whoever that guy was that pitched last night. Like, whoa, this is a total change. I'm not used to this. The whole game plan's out of whack. We don't know what's going to happen. And he's playing fearless out there because he's got nothing to lose. But the ball-washing propaganda arm of the NFL, those insiders, have pushed this guy to us because they need L.A. to be successful. Justin Herbert is no better than a mid-quarterback in this league. And if he wasn't playing for L.A., everybody would be talking about him being a very average quarterback in the NFL.
So, Mac, let me ask you this. Justin Herbert or Matt Stafford?
Matt Stafford.
Justin Herbert or CJ Stroud?
This season?
Yeah, yeah. I know Stafford has the back thing going on right now.
Yeah, but I'll stay just healthy. Yeah, this season, yeah, Stafford. I'll go Herbert over, who'd you just say?
CJ Stroud.
Herbert.
Okay.
Based on playoff success or?
I mean, yeah, this is what's tough about football. It's such a rough sample size. You're talking about two games. That's what I'm saying. You're talking about two
games. People want to run down C.J. Stroud, though, and say he went to the AFC divisional round and lost to the Chiefs last year. Oh, you see it nationally all the time. I was watching it the other day. Big year for C.J. Stroud and the Texans.
He didn't have his best season in the regular year last year. But
they still went to the AFC divisional round and lost at Arrowhead to the Chiefs. They're acting like they went 8-7 or 7-9 or whatever it was.
Well, he beat your mid but to below average quarterback in Justin Herbert, so I don't know how good the win was, right?
It's still a playoff win. Justin Herbert hasn't done that.
The other thing about Justin Herbert, too, is that the ratio of touchdown interceptions are great. 137 to 45 in his career. You know what his record is overall?
500.
41-38. And I know wins are not a quarterback stat, but they are a quarterback stat. It's a contradictory topic that you can have for hours and hours. Sure. But if you are above and beyond, like, it shouldn't make sense. And this is what doesn't make sense to me. It should make sense that you've thrown for 21,000 yards. Your yards per average are 7.2 in your career. You've done 137 and 45 interceptions, but you're 41-38.
To me, that
doesn't add up. Something's not there. Like, whether it's the winning gene in the regular season, because the numbers are there, but when the game's on the line, it's like, hey, we need you. Or in the playoffs, like Jalen Hurts or Justin Herbert. Because those are
in the playoffs,
just in general.
Jalen Hurts.
Oh, in general, Justin Herbert.
Because they cater around Jalen Hurts the way they do around Justin Herbert. But when they need to make a play, every once in a while, Jalen Hurts makes that play, especially in the playoffs. Justin Herbert does not.
No.
And eventually, you know, after, I don't know, 4 years, 5 years in the league, you got to take that separation if you want to be in that upper echelon, which is in the top five quarterback rankings.
You got to start winning and playing when it matters. The guy's got 10 postseason interceptions or something like that, doesn't he?
Who, Herbert?
Yeah.
I don't know about
him. In his two games, yeah. I mean, he could be. Yeah, who knows?
I mean, he just throws to the other team. And again, he's a victim, and we're all a victim, if you buy into it, of that propaganda machine of the NFL of trying to make Justin Herbert something that he isn't. Again, if he was playing in Minnesota or if he was playing in New England at this point in time or Carolina or someplace like that, they wouldn't be pushing this narrative of Justin Herbert. That's all they're doing right now.
Dak Prescott or Justin Herbert?
Herbert.
Okay. Neither.
So you have Herbert.
I play with 10.
You have Herbert as your sixth best quarterback in the NFL?
Probably seventh or eighth.
So who's above? Who's
Daniels, Stafford.
And then Herbert?
Goff.
Stroud and him are really close. I'd have Goff below Herbert.
Why?
I think Herbert's more talented.
Goff
has
taken two organizations to the...
But this is how you and I look at it differently, Bob.
I know. You look at stats and think they matter.
I
look at guys that can win.
I haven't mentioned one number.
But that's the only thing. Then why are you putting Justin Herbert above
these guys? You're mentioning other people. You're not mentioning anything about Jalen Hurts or anything about Jared Goff. You're mentioning the team. You're mentioning the coaches. You're mentioning 52 other guys. That's why Jalen Hurts isn't the fifth best quarterback to me. He's got a top five wide receiver duo. He's got the best running back. He's got the best offensive line.
Yeah.
He's got the best GM.
That's right.
He's got the best defense.
It's like the NBA topic. Let's run everybody down who goes and supports themselves.
I think Jalen Hurts is 10th, not 5th. I think Herbert is 8th. Or 7.
Jalen Hurts has been to two of the last three Super Bowls. I mean, you can't get to the Super Bowl without having a bad quarterback. Ask the Chargers.
He's not bad. I didn't say he was bad. 9th isn't bad. It's just not 5th.
Well,
10th, maybe 11th.
It's barely top 3rd. And to me, Jalen Hurts is better than a top 3rd quarterback in the NFL. The record's there. The proof is there. He leads his team to victories. We can't have it both ways. We can't laud Patrick Mahomes for willing his team to victories. And then when Justin Herbert, or not Justin Herbert, but... Jalen Hurts does it, we can't go, well, he's got a good supporting cast. Like, you can't have it both ways. We're either going to judge quarterbacks by how they win or how they play when it matters most. Like, is there in football a low and close stat, like how guys play with 2 minutes to go?
Well, what kind of mistakes in the regular season, Jalen Hurts threw 53 passes in the fourth quarter with the game at a one-score game. 44 of those were in the first 4 weeks of the season. For the rest of the year, he threw 9 passes in the fourth quarter when it was a one-score game.
How many of those situations presented itself?
Because they don't have to, because they have the best team, because he doesn't have to do that.
That's great. That's fantastic. Surround your guy with good players. You don't have to rely on them to go out there and make plays. I'd quite frankly rather have that than being down 3 with 13 seconds to go.
If you want quarterbacks to be judged in the playoffs, if that's what you want to do.
Brock Purdy. Sorry, Brock Purdy.
I'm not a fan.
Okay. Let his team do Super Bowl.
He did. Yep. Jalen Hurts in his career in the playoffs has thrown 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Justin Herbert has thrown 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Now, the sample size is there. Yeah. Justin Herbert has played in 2 playoff games, and he's 0-2. Jalen Hurts in his first 2 years in his first 2 runs in the playoffs, he went 3-2 or 2-2. So 500, but he does show up when he needs to. Like, mm-hmm. His playoff Hurts versus regular season Hurts is different. Now, this year in the Super Bowl, they didn't even need Saquon Barkley. They just used Jalen Hurts. Whereas Justin Herbert, I don't know if it's because the coaching and, Staley was there, if you want to add that as well. But I will say that if you are going to be a top 5, which is a supreme class, I think that's where your guys' argument is that the top 5 are guys that are all first ballot Hall of Famers, right? Burrow, Jackson, Holmes.
Yep.
All these guys are top 5. Allen, they're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Whereas if Justin Herbert wants to be that guy and wants to separate himself from the Phillip Rivers narrative that a lot of people give him in LA, then he's got to show up in the playoffs. And
agreed.
He's got to win more games in the regular season. And whereas quarterback stats are not defined by wins, if you want to be a good echelon top quarterback, you do have to have a separation in wins in the regular season. And 41-38 is a little bit of a hiccup where you got to be that guy where it's like your stats tell you that you can get the plays done. You can make touchdowns and not make mistakes. But you've also got to win games. And we used to see that with Alex Smith. We all agree that Alex Smith was really good at being a quarterback. But when it mattered most, he had to put the football in his hands. It was like he turned into, a different type of quarterback. And that kind of seems to be the way with Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that he's trash. I'm not saying that he's bad.
No, I get it.
I just don't think that he's where a lot of people think he is.
And he also has twice as many interceptions as touchdowns in the playoffs. That's a quarterback stat right there. That tells me you're not ready for the big stage.
2 games, but yeah. He's got to do better. I wouldn't have him at 5.
And also the reason he only has 2 games is because he's not getting his team there.
Right. He's not leading his team.
Part of that's on him. Part of that's not. Yep.
Part of that's making those plays. I mean, we look at Patrick Mahomes and go, that guy can make any play. That's what a good quarterback does. Josh Allen, same way. You don't want the ball in Josh Allen's hand with another 2 minutes to go down 4.
2 all-time guys, yep.
Joe Burrow, I feel like can lead you down the field. I feel like Lamar can lead you down the field. You give me the ball with Justin Herbert, I'm like, all right, game over. I'll go, watch Wings.
I mean, Lamar and Josh have both failed at that multiple times. Just saw them both do it, actually.
Yeah. Somebody says Hurts has played better in big games than Josh Allen has, and that's not even remotely debatable.
Yeah, Hurts is a Hurts is a big play quarterback, big time,
and that's
big
what you
game
want.
Quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I want. I want a big game quarterback with big nuts that's going to go out there when it matters most,
but
and lead my team down the field.
He has not been in a playoff game. But one, I'll give him 2 Super Bowls ago where they were forced to pass the ball and score points, and he was actually able to do it. He has not been in a pass first offense because I don't think he can do it. He's not that quarterback.
He did it against us in that Super Bowl.
2 Super Bowls ago, he did.
Well, yes. This one too. Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl doesn't. No,
they didn't. It wasn't Saquon Barkley.
It wasn't him either. I mean, the Chiefs
came out firing.
Yeah, it was good.
They came out firing. He was brilliant in that Super Bowl.
He was good. Yeah.
He was the best player on the field in the 2 Super Bowls against the Chiefs.
I would disagree with the first one, but yeah. Patrick Mahomes was better. But yeah, we're splitting hairs, but yes, Jalen Hurts, best game he's ever played. Best game he will ever play.
Would you rather have Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott?
Jalen Hurts. But it's close.
Is Dak outside the top 10?
Dak's already 34 years old, I saw. 32 or 34 years old.
He is
old.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Hurts is 26, and I'm giving him time to get better.
Well,
Jalen Hurts.
Dak and Chris Jones play together?
at Mississippi State? I think you're right.
Yeah. So they're the same age.
They're like 31, 30.
Yeah. I think it was 32. Like that. I was shocked by that. I'm like, God, he's 32 already? But in NFL life, he's missed half his time, so he's only like 28.
Somebody says, I can't say that Allen and Burrow are Hall of Famers right now.
That's fair. I mean,
yeah, that's fair.
Well, their career's not done. Yeah.
No, but what it's been so far, I would assume that they will be both in the Hall of Fame.
It's trending that way.
Right.
I'd like to talk to a Hall of Fame voter right now. If Josh Allen walked away today, like pulled an Andrew Luck, let's say, is he a Hall of Famer? I think there'd be a lot of debate in the room.
I'll be close.
A lot of debate in the room because of the postseason, because he couldn't win the big one. And that's what they debate about. And that's what determines a Hall of Famer, because that'll be the first thing that comes up. He never made the Super Bowl.
So Justin Herbert is Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there. Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, but Judge is better in the regular season than Herbert is, though.
Is he?
I mean, he leads the league in all these categories usually. Herbert doesn't do that. I mean, and the Yankees usually finish about 25 or 30 games over 500 in the regular season and then fall on their face in the playoffs.
Somebody says to tell Mac to go rewatch that Arizona Super Bowl. Hurts was incredible. Mahomes did it in the clutch, as he always does, but can't downplay how good Hurts was in that big moment.
Man, I said Hurts was great. Yeah.
I said he was terrible and trash.
Yeah, I said we're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts made the one huge mistake. Patrick Mahomes didn't really make any mistakes. And that fourth quarter run, man, on one ankle. Oh, I'll never forget
it. When was the last time you saw Patrick Mahomes make a mistake?
Oh, man. Where do I start? Last year?
We were there.
Yeah, let's say.
The Super Bowl you're talking about?
Gene would tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucked.
That is true, I guess, but.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, but I just don't. Yeah, that Super Bowl, I'm not getting like, oh, Hurts was amazing. Yeah, that game was over.
From the 816, Andrew Luck is not even in the Hall of Fame. Not even close. Andrew Luck retired after 5 years.
Yeah, Andrew Luck is not a Hall of Famer.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, come on.
Go somewhere else.
I just said if he pulled an Andrew Luck and retired today, is he a Hall of Famer? At no time did anybody say Andrew Luck was a Hall of Famer. But you jump to conclusion, Mats, and get mad over advertisements.
Andrew Luck would have been in the Hall of Fame if he'd have stayed in the NFL.
Absolutely, yeah. Probably would have been. It would have been real interesting to see the AFC right now if Andrew Luck was still playing. What kind of battles him and Mahomes would have been
having,
right?
First thought when he retired. I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
One guy's gone.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah.
And now they have Daniel Jones.
From the 816, they let everybody in the Hall of Fame now. No, they don't. Very hard to get into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Ask everybody who's on the outside looking in. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is extremely difficult in which to enter. They don't let everybody in the Hall of Fame. I kind of resent that. Those guys that get in the Hall of Fame come over here, and they'll say something about that, too, because, you know, they don't let anybody in the
say
Pro
that
Football
to Brian
Hall
Waters.
Of Fame. Brian Waters is a Hall of Famer, and he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying. Here we go. Now I'm just getting roasted. Dusty says Casey Printers was a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Another hype guy at camp 1 year. Oh, this Casey Printers is going to unseat Trent Green.
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
That's right. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into a sports disappointment. What is your biggest sports disappointment? 913-586-7965. On the other side, what is your biggest sports disappointment? On Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well, here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, Bob and Mac, one of them getting traded because they both hugged in the break.
So I don't know. See, that's the thing, right? Yeah. Sometimes I was telling Dusty, sometimes it's okay if you two are talking NBA, I can go smoke a butt, you know, not to worry about it. Mac and I are debating quarterbacks. Dusty's like, I'm out of this one. Whatever. Whatever.
Somebody in the text line says, Dusty, when do you think Alex Smith gets into the Hall of Fame? Okay.
The Chiefs Ring of Honor will be happening in the probably, you know, sooner rather than later, I would imagine, with Alex Smith, right? Like, he deserves it. And, you know, somebody was saying to me yesterday, actually, I was actually having a dream about this because I'm sicker than others, right? How many of these Chiefs from this dynasty are going to the Hall of Fame?
Six.
You got Butker, you got Mahomes, you got Kelsey.
Jones.
You got Jones, you got Andy Reid, you got Brett Veach.
McDuffie?
It's only year three.
Yeah, it's fair. You know?
Well,
it's
they
fair.
Let everybody in, so 15.
Right, But I mean, when you think about it, how many Hall of Famers, if you say six, a third of them are the coach and general manager. So four players from this entire dynasty, you can absolutely 100% say are getting into the Hall of Fame.
They should just put Andy Reid in now.
They should.
They don't put guards in, but Joe Tooney has a chance. And they put guards in. You know, yeah, I mean? It's a little hard.
It's, I mean, Will Shields is in, obviously, yes. And, but he had to establish himself for an entire career.
Jason Kelsey's a Hall of Famer, right?
Should be.
Should be.
So Creed.
It's a great one.
Yeah.
Creed and Tooney, honestly. Yeah. Tooney should be.
But how, I mean, I don't know how you determine linemen for the Hall of Fame, right? Like, was Jason Kelsey a good center, or was Jason Kelsey just awesome at being Jason Kelsey?
Both.
You know, like, so, I mean, I don't know how to judge guys. Like, especially a guy I didn't watch play every single day.
Of course.
Nobody really knew about Jason Kelsey till the last couple of years, right? I think Jason was as big a benefit as Travis coming to light as, you know, and then everybody kind of focused on him, and then they had their, you know, success with the tush push and all that. But 10 years ago, people weren't walking around talking about Jason Kelsey, you know, like it's just, it's weird how that whole dynamic has changed, and he's morphed into one of what we think are the great centers in the NFL. But again, I don't know how to judge those guys at the, especially at the center position, yeah. You know, it's hard.
Somebody says, is Spags a Hall of Famer?
No, they don't put assistant coaches in.
Okay. So stupid.
Yeah. So we asked a question on the other side. What's your biggest sports disappointment of all time? Yeah. Bob, take it away.
Well, Josh Allen was signing autographs yesterday at practice, and this little girl started crying because she didn't get her signed. He turned around, doubled back, went and signed her autograph, gave her a big hug. And it was, I was like, man, that's awesome. But imagine if she didn't get that autograph. At her age, that's her biggest sports disappointment. And I really thought about this one because for a long time, it was KU getting beat by Arizona in the NCAA tournament. While I'll still never get over that loss, I'm starting to think more and more that Super Bowl loss really is a huge disappointment for me. And that was the three-peat right there. That was history right there. And that's one, guys, no matter how good this team is, I don't know that we'll ever be in that position again to have that opportunity to win three in a row because of how hard it is to get there. And they were so close to get that close and to not accomplish that goal. That's going to be one that sticks with me for a long time. And as you've mentioned, and Bill Self has mentioned over the years, we think about the losses more than we enjoy the wins. That's going to be one that I keep looking back on and go, damn, if we didn't have the poops that day, what could have happened with this team and with this dynasty? And where could they have gone had they been in better shape to play that game on Super Bowl Sunday?
I'll do that Bengals AFC Championship game, that loss. That would be my biggest sports disappointment, I think, just because I thought that team was so much better than Cincinnati.
So Chiefs and a lot of recency for you guys. I'll stick with the Chiefs theme. I have two. For me, it's the Lynn Elliott game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the best Chiefs team that I was ever seen. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is the 97 team, 13-3. Denver comes in town, and it just melts away. And it sucked because, like, that was the team. They were 13-3. They're the best team in football. Denver comes in as a wild card, and Terrell Davis runs all over you, and Denver goes on to win back-to-back Super Bowls. You have to watch John Elway and the Broncos go into your house with Neil Smith joining the Broncos and watching that happen in front of your eyes. We're like, this is it. This is the year. And I think this is why we have a lot of sourpuss fans on the text line when it comes to don't get overhyped because they've been hurt before, right?
But we've been rewarded so much in the last decade.
People,
you know,
never forget.
I know it's hard. It really is.
And I think that game for me is tough because you look at that game and that 97 team, man, like I'm 10 years old. Football's starting to make sense. Stats are starting to make sense. I'm starting to recognize players. I'm playing Game Day 97 or 98 on PlayStation 1. I know everybody's team. I know everybody's roster. I know the Chiefs are good. Here we go. We're geared up. We got the team, and it's gone.
There's nothing worse than the sports disappointment when you're a kid, too. Like before you really become an adult and realize, you know, the business side of all this kind of stuff. When you're a kid, that sports disappointment hurts hard, man.
It does.
And it hurts for your college team, too. Like it took me, and I'm still not quite 100% over that Arizona KU loss from the mid 90s. Like it's still, like, I still dream about Mike Bibby. Like, my God, like you still have those thoughts of what could have been, because that was Roy's probably best team ever that he had at KU, and they failed and lost that game to Arizona in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm like, what? I still remember where it is. I can still see the final play of Jared Haas missing shots and Rafe trying to get one back and put it in. Like, those are the disappointments that you live with and grow through, you know, as a kid. But for me, that three-peat, man, that's going to be one that bothers me. The Bengal one is interesting too, because that just felt like an automatic win.
Yeah.
And then that Applebee's guy showed up and performed that song at halftime, and every Johnson County mom's dancing because she's excited about a ribeye and a chocolate shake from Applebee's, and she's grooving, and then the second half happens, and you're like, man, that Applebee's guy's ruined everything.
Somebody says the KU lost to Syracuse against Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
I still remember Michael Lee getting blocked by Hakeem Warrick, who had the largest wingspan in the history of college basketball.
That's unbelievable.
A lot of Royals Game 7 World Series 2014.
Yeah, I have a totally different approach on that one. I felt great after that because it was just such a fun ride, and we had never experienced winning in this town. And that was the first time we all experienced winning. And did it end in disappointment? Yeah, it did, but it was like, that's not going to take away from that month of October. That's the greatest sports month anybody's ever had. Ask anybody who was an adult in 2014 what their productivity was like in October in Kansas City, and it was at an all-time low. Everybody was drunk. Everybody's credit cards were maxed out, and we loved life.
From the 620, first Mahomes AFC Championship was crushing for me. Hurts less now, but man, I thought about that game for months.
Yeah, really, because we were never there, yes. And based on our history, we didn't think we'd ever get back, and this was going to be...
It was that close.
And we were that close. It was right there. We'll never get there again.
And Brady.
And then history rewrote itself, and we're there every year.
Offsides, number 55, defense. Oh!
Exactly, dude. I think the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl. Offsides.
Yep. Roughing the passer.
Typical Chiefs stuff.
Roughing the passer, number 95, connected with the face of number 12. Automatic first down. Punt to Julian Edelman. He didn't touch it. Why does thumb move? Gravity.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know, man. Kansas State, Texas A&M, Big 12 championship game from the 6-2-0.
Oh, that K-State, Texas A&M game in St. Louis. I think it was... Who was the running back for Texas A&M? Wasn't Rashawn Salaam or somebody like that, was it? But I remember that was the first Big 12 title game. They played that thing in St. Louis, and K-State ended up losing that game to Texas A&M.
2012, number one BCS, K-State at Baylor. There you go. 2003, KU losing to Syracuse, another one. Mm-hmm. First time I've ever cried over a sporting event, third grade.
Khalif Farouk Manesh still have nightmares. Yeah, the Northern Iowa game, that was a bad one.
Yeah. A lot of K-State heartbreak on this text line.
Yeah,
right now.
There is.
K-State when they lost to Baylor during Colin Klein's senior year. It's tough.
That was a tough one, yeah.
Local disappointment. Royals letting Johnny Damon, Jermaine Dye, and Carlos Beltran all walk in their prime. Well, that's why you have John Sherman. That's why you have a new Royals regime. And we talked to Royals manager Matt Cotrero on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.